It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And today, well, this is not a topic that people don't want to discuss. I think it's kind of a fun one.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's about, I've worked as an extra on several movie sets.
Yes.
And most recently on the Steven Soderbergh film that was, it's just wrapping up in town now.
And I think people want to know, like, how did you even get involved? How does one get involved? What's the commitment like? What, you know, is the funnest, like, did you get to see any actors? Those are probably going to be the, you know, the biggest questions.
Okay. So to start off, the first movie I was ever an extra in, I filmed in 1993, I want to say.
And so you're only like seven?
Yeah.
Okay. A child actor.
That's why she's one of my besties.
Best friend status.
Uh-huh. And it was one of the Illich sons had started a production company, mm-hmm. and he brought in, so this movie, part of it was being filmed here in Detroit, and it starred Dabney Coleman and Bonnie Bedelia, who was from the...
Oh my gosh, Dabney Coleman. What a blast from the past.
I know, right? And we were in a scene, we were at a cocktail party at the Ritz-Carlton in Dearborn. This is back when it was the Ritz-Carlton.
And I worked there.
Yeah, and I was all... So we were all dressed up. It was in the fall. It was probably this time of year. It was a very chilly evening, I remember. We were all dressed up doing this scene. It was a cocktail party, and something was happening at it. And I heard about it. Gosh, there was no social media then. How did I even... I was working in radio, and so that is how I heard about it. I think they had tried to get the word out via radio.
Okay.
That they were looking for extras. So I went and signed up to work as an extra. I don't even know if I got paid for that one. I must have. But there were a couple incidents I remember from that. I ended up standing near a big round table, but across from Dabney Coleman. And I'm trying not to stare because it's just, you know, it's rude.
Wait, did you say what the movie was called?
It was called Judicial Consent. It came out in 1994.
Okay.
So it was filming late 1993. And I ended up across the table from him, and like people had like, you know, fake drinks and all this stuff, and he had set his down. I just happened to watch him set his down. And then he was chatting with somebody, and then they were like, start shooting the scene again. And he looks down, and there's a couple different glasses there, and he goes, oh, I don't know which one's mine. And I said, it's that one, Mr. Coleman.
I've been watching it ever since you set it
and
down.
And then I turned immediately away because I didn't want to be, like, stalkery.
Right.
But he smiled at me and was nice. Yes, but it was interesting to me because they took all the extras when it was time because there are rules. There's laws. Like, you can only work so many hours and then you have to have a break for lunch. And believe me, the movie industry is very well. It's all unions. There's breaks, like nobody's overworked, like it's very well run. And all the extras were sent outside to a tent and we were fed Little Caesar's pizza.
Of course,
but that was all it was. And we're in a tent that's really not heated and people are like in ball gowns and stuff. And there were these other people that had apparently been extras in movie before. This was my first time. And one woman, I remember, she was like, yes, I told Mr. Illich, you don't dress people up and then put them in a cold tent and serve them pizza. That's not how you treat extras. And I was like, oh.
Wow.
Well, he probably didn't know.
Right.
Because this was his first, you know.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's what first clued me in, that there are rules. And,
yeah.
And then when the movie credits came to, the tax incentives for movies came to Michigan,
yes.
I was an extra in quite a few. So I really paid attention and learned because I love the creative process for anything.
Right.
I love observing the creative process.
And do you get listed in the credits?
No.
Oh,
not
okay.
As an extra.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to have a line, at least one line.
Okay.
Oh, well, I don't even know if you have one line if you get listed, but you have to have a role.
Okay.
So, so I was an extra a couple more times. Then I was a stand-in once during Batman v Superman.
Nice.
For Holly Hunter.
That's fun.
It was. Because then you're more involved.
Yeah.
So I got to see more of the process. Like, you're there while they're setting up the lights. So what a stand-in does is, like Holly Hunter, well, I was her stand-in because I was the same height as her in her heels,
mm-hmm.
in my flat shoes.
Oh, okay.
She's quite tiny.
Yeah.
And our hair was the same length. So I would stand where she was going to stand in the scene while they set up the lights to make sure that the light was going to hit her appropriately.
Nice.
That's what a stand-in does.
Okay.
So then you get to watch the process. You get to mm-hmm. watch them setting things up. I got to talk to all the cameramen and the lighting guys and the director of photography, who was also a magician, and he kept doing magic tricks while they were setting up the
all
shots.
Right. Well, that's cool.
It was very fun. Okay, I'm telling you the fun stuff.
Yes.
Working as an extra is, there's a lot of attrition. Like, you will work as an extra, and then the next day, a lot of people won't show up. Because I think a lot of people go in thinking that it's going to be glamorous.
Yeah.
That they're going to be starring in the movie.
Yes.
and basically, when you're an extra, you're like a prop. You are there to make the scene look authentic. Like, so this movie now is set in the 1950s. So just like they have 1950s automobiles, they had people dressed up and hair done in 1950s hairstyles with 1950s makeup and 1950s clothes. You're just there to make the scene look authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like...
So people can just not show up?
Well, you're probably not going to get work again if you do that.
Right.
But it does happen, yeah.
It wasn't as exciting as they thought it was going to be, or they
exciting.
Were bored, or...
Working as an extra, I'm going to tell you, is 90% waiting.
Are you allowed to have your phone?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
Usually, like on Batman v Superman, they did take our phones away because they didn't want any pictures leaking.
Mm-hmm.
Except when I was a stand-in, I got to keep my phone.
Mm.
Like, and they don't want you taking pictures.
Right.
So if you do get to keep your phone, don't be taking pictures.
Okay.
Because I've seen people get kicked off set, too.
Yeah.
For breaking
and
the rules.
When you start, do they have, like, all these rules, like, don't, talk to the actors or ask for autographs or take, like, they
I'm
tell
trying
you guys
to, okay, I'm trying to remember the first time I did it. I think, yes, when you first sign on with an agency mm-hmm. and it's your first time working, I think they tell you that. I'm pretty sure they must, because it wasn't like I just knew that.
Is it kind of an unwritten rule once you've done it a couple of times that, like, everybody just knows you don't go talk to the stars?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah. And so when you're an extra on set, you don't go to set and just stand there. You go to set when they need you, and then you're put in a very specific place. And there's always people around you, PAs, production assistants. So it's not like you could just wander off and go talk to somebody
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to.
Right.
Now, occasionally you will encounter people, and if they, start talking to you, it's not like you can't talk back.
Right, right.
But it's been so long now, I think it is an unwritten rule, like... Don't bother people. They're working.
It's the same thing in the restaurant industry is that, if you work at a place where famous people come in, they tell you, they're like, don't go asking for autographs. Don't embarrass yourself. Like, you're here to perform a job. They're here to be themselves and enjoy their night out mm-hmm. just because they're famous. Like, now every once in a while, somebody who's famous will be cool and strike up a conversation
right.
with you or offer you an autograph. But it's basically, an unwritten rule. It's actually a written rule. They're like, don't
yeah.
go talking to the
well,
famous guests.
Like, not mm-hmm. like I'm trying to compare myself. I'm not. However, this is how I equate it. Like, I remember when I was in radio, we would have to go do remote broadcasts, which
right.
usually meant we were at a booth in a public place. And I cannot tell you how many times I would have my headphones on and be talking live on the air, and somebody would come up and be like, hey, Stacey. And I'm like, I'm working. Like,
yeah.
When I'm not working, sure, come say hi, but don't walk up to me while I'm working and act like I'm being offensive.
Yeah, like you're on the set and you're like, excuse me, Mr. De Niro.
Right.
You need the little on-air thing right in front of you so that if somebody does that, you can just like, kindly point to the on-air thing.
I think it's pretty obvious.
It should be.
So I guess I always assume when you do see, and I did see a few people on set.
Yeah. This recent one, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
Does George Clooney look good with his shirt off?
He is a producer, so I don't think he's actually in the cast.
He's definitely not taking his shirt off.
Well, I was going to say, he could still walk around without a shirt on, though.
Well, if he were a giver.
Right?
No, I saw John Hamm, who walked by one day, and it was very nice. He was walking to the house where, I guess, all the stars were, where they were waiting, where their holding was. And he was walking by with a couple cups of coffee, and a bunch of us were standing there because we'd been placed. And he looked over and nodded, like, friendly. And I was like, all right, got the nod.
All right.
I'm good for today.
I love how we just expect even the littlest things from, because they're like a movie, like, they're
a nod.
Well,
no, but okay, he was walking to where he was holding. He could have been thinking about his lines or whatever. Like, he didn't really need to acknowledge.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was walked right by me, but he was being aware of his surroundings. And I thought that was like a nice, you know, short of walking up to us like, hey, how are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Which would slow things down. Like, that was the appropriate thing to do. Now, I will tell you a story. There was one day, these are the type of extras I do not like working with.
Okay.
There was a person who
I know who you are.
Yeah. Yes. This goes back to a topic from a couple of weeks ago. Except I don't think this person does know who they are.
Okay, Gary.
So this person was, we were, of course, the background of a scene. We had to react to what was happening. But again, it's not like the camera was on us. We were in the background reacting to what the camera was filming. So this person was ahead of me and was reacting and then turned back to me because I was like 3 feet to the right or whatever, turned and said to me, do you want to come up here and be on camera? And I wanted to say, I love how you assume the camera's on you. But there are people like that, like and there's people who always like rush to get to the front every time you're filming a scene. Like, they rush to get to the front, so, like, they're going to be, except you don't, like, cameras, it's so wide, you don't know where it's focusing.
Right.
So I'm always like, you just go where they tell you.
But, like, did she want you to take, like, her, like, spotlight away?
I don't know. I think she was just like, you know, you can be on camera, too.
Oh.
You can co-star with
you.
Me. I was like, I just said, no, I'm good. Like, this is where I was.
So how did you find out about this one that you're on now?
And so I'm signed with, there's an agency here in Detroit that supplies a lot of extras to not only films, but commercials, all kinds of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called realstyleonline.com. Okay. And anybody can sign up with them. I think there's like an initial $10 cost just for processing fees. And you upload photos and all your sizes and all of your information. And then they will let you know, hey, this is coming up. If you want to be considered, if you're available and want to be considered, let us know. And they have to put in there, just because you say you're available doesn't mean you're booked.
Yeah.
Because I think people thought, I said I was free. Why didn't you call?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's, they look at the pictures and they decide the people they want to use in the scene. So you tell them you're available. And then if they decide they want you, you get another email and it tells you where to go for wardrobe or whatever needs to be done before you go work. Or they tell you, if that's not a requirement, they'll say, okay, show up such and such a date. Here's something else you don't know until production wraps. Like, say you're scheduled to work on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
you will not know until production wraps on Wednesday what time you have to report to work on Thursday.
Mm.
And it could be 7 a.m.
So you have to be super flexible.
You have to be super flexible. You have to be constantly monitoring your email because, and things change.
And does it pay pretty good?
I'm sure
people are, okay.
She's going to retire next year.
Right.
I think it pays better than minimum wage, but it's like $10 or $11 an hour, I want to say.
Got it. Okay.
I do it because I like the creative process and I like seeing what different people are doing.
Yeah.
there was a lot that went into this film that was really interesting to watch. It was so cool to see parts of Detroit transform into 1950s.
Yeah.
Like, the movie's going to look amazing. And I'm sure it's going to be amazing. It's got amazing people in it. So, but just the look of it, it was so fascinating to watch. And so, like, on set, I'm kind of looking around, like, what is the camera seeing? Like,
yeah.
I can't wait to see this scene. I don't even care if you see me in it.
Right.
I just want to see what it looks like and if it looked like what I thought it was going to look like.
Now, do you have to be a member of, is it like SAG or?
Actually, no. If you are a member of SAG, I don't think you can work as an extra. Because if you're in the union, you are guaranteed a minimum base salary.
Okay.
So that is, the union is not for extras.
Okay. So
at least not here.
Okay.
That may be different. I think there are people out in LA who like make their living as extras. I think a lot of people do that.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know the rules out there. I just know what goes on here.
Okay.
But you can't be in the union.
So how many extras would you say there was on like the film you're working on right now?
Well, it depended. So it depends on what scene it is. So there was one day when we were outside in a neighborhood. We were nosy neighbors. And the one day we had maybe 20, and the next day maybe 40. And then there was one day we were downtown and we had well over 100.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so those days they had to bring in teams of hair and makeup people. But that is why I say, so 90% of being an extra is waiting.
Yeah.
And when I say waiting, it's legit, oh my God, I'm going to hurt somebody if I don't get to move soon, waiting.
Oh, wow.
So you get there and you wait to go through hair and makeup. You wait in line for costumes. You wait to eat. You wait to get called to set. When you get to set, you're put in place, but then they're setting up the shot. Like, again, you're like a prop.
Yeah.
So they put you in place, and then they set up the camera and the angles. And, so you wait, and then, so you have waited all this time, and then you might do something for 10 minutes, and it's over.
I mean, because it sounds fun to be like,
right?
Oh, I was an extra on a movie, but now that you're putting, like, I don't know if I have the patience for a lot of waiting.
You have to have, and then, especially days when there's a lot of extras, like, the waiting is quadrupled. So, and they have to know, so, like, when you're in costume, that we had to have our pictures taken so many times,
mm-hmm.
because they have to know who's in what costume in case it needs to be replicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, they keep, they are so thorough about everything, but thoroughness takes time.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to stand there and let them take their time and let them do their job. And
based on the other ones you were in, how was this affected by COVID?
Oh, my goodness. It was slowed down by 30%.
Wow.
First, they had to have a whole other division. I had 5 COVID tests during the month I was filming off and on. And I had to have one before I went to wardrobe. I had to have one before I was on set. Like, they were constantly testing the people who were on set. We had those. They gave us those N95 masks.
Okay.
And we had to wear those until cameras were rolling. And then immediately when it was done, put it back on. And the crew people never took theirs off.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was I was really impressed with how they handled the COVID part of it. Oh, also, so like if you're at base camp, like the day we were filming in a neighborhood, so base camp is at a place where it's big enough to have tents for food and changing and hair mm-hmm. and makeup. Well, that's not always necessarily near where you're filming.
Right.
So they have vans shuttle people back and forth to set. Okay, so they've got big buses and vans that can hold 10 people, buses that can hold 30. The vans that could hold 10 people were limited to 2. The buses were limited to 8. So now you're waiting even more to get back and forth to base camp because the transportation can't handle as many people because of COVID.
Right.
Which, again, I'm glad. I was glad
yeah.
for the safety of these rules, but it really slowed everything down. I imagine other productions, you know, in other parts of the country, I know films are being made.
Yeah, because I was really worried about, you know, when the theaters, I think they did open, I guess.
Yes.
But there's no real movies that were made during this whole time.
Yeah.
So I was worried, like, are there going to be a good amount of movies coming out?
I think, so this is what I understood. This is what we were told, is that when COVID happened, a bunch of Hollywood directors and other bigwigs, producers, I guess, formed a group and were like, we need to establish rules and guidelines for filming under COVID to keep everybody safe, but to keep people working.
Okay.
So they set up all these guidelines. And Steven Soderbergh, who's filming this movie, was on that panel, I guess.
Okay.
Which is why we heard about it.
And
which is also, I think, why our production was so very strict, because since he was on the panel, like, he couldn't have anything go wrong. At least
right.
That's just supposition on my part, but
right.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
But I felt very safe, and I understood all the slowdowns, and it was, most of the time, it was like being on a movie set, like, yes, you're waiting, yes, 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 you know, you're waiting for mm-hmm. things to be set up. It was slower because of COVID, but that was to be expected.
Now, did you see any of the main films? Like, did you get our main scenes? Did you get to watch them being filmed?
No, you only get to go to set when they. Well, okay. Actually, I may have. I don't know, because I don't know the movie.
Okay.
I don't know the main scenes of the movie, so I very well could have been in a main scene and have no idea.
But I mean, did you see the actors acting?
In one scene, yes, and in another one, no. Well, no, yes, yes. Like, but again, from far away. So,
okay.
Like, in one, I saw a guy driving, and in one, I saw a guy come in and talk to somebody else, and in one, I saw a guy leaving a house and reacting to what he'd seen in there.
Yeah.
So it was all. But if you think about the main parts of a movie, though, really, unless it's like happening in a public place, most. The main parts of a movie are actually scenes with just the main actors.
Right.
So.
I mean, yeah, I guess, obviously, you know, I don't watch it. I haven't watched it, like, with that eye, like, thinking, oh. But I do realize, like, when there's a ton of extra people in a scene, like the extras, I'm always like, how did they pull all these people together and get them all dressed? And, I mean, it just seems so amazing.
It is. It's a, for lack of a better word, it's a production.
Yeah.
Like, so the one day we had over 100 extras, there was a lineup of hair people, there was a lineup of makeup people, and you were just like, you had somebody directing you to the next empty chair. Like, and we got there very early in the morning to get us all through it and ready.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really, what goes on behind the scenes is just fascinating, because you think, oh yeah, it just happens.
Right.
No, nothing just happens.
And I don't know why I've always done this, but I have done this for a long time. Like, if I'm watching something and the couples, like, at a restaurant and they're talking, I'm always watching all the people behind them at the other tables that are the extras.
You want to know something?
Yeah.
Here's a little tip for you. They're not talking.
Yeah.
They're mouthing the words.
Yeah. So I think that's why I even focus on it more now, because someone told me that a while ago. And so I always watch them, like, fake laughing and, you know, and they're, so I'm always focused on the people in the background.
Well, I thought this was very interesting. The guy who was in charge of the extras for the first 3 days I was on set was really good, and obviously had done this job before. And he told us, whenever you're in a scene, have the story of what your character is doing in your head. Because, A, you're going to have to repeat it over and over and over again. So you should know what your character is doing and why.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if the camera does happen to catch your face or get a close-up of you, however briefly, the camera can tell if you're pretending to write or if you think your character's writing. Like, that is a thing. So each time, but that's also the part I like, because I like making up stories. So I'm like, okay, this is what my character's doing. And she doesn't want to be out here, but her husband's like, you get out there and find out what's going on. So she kind of doesn't want to be there, but she can't stop looking.
See, they should add a category, like, best extra.
Right?
Yeah. like in one of the daytime Emmy Awards
and
or whatever.
We could all nominate ourselves.
Yes.
So good you didn't even notice they were there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Fly on the wall. It sounds like the best part about it is if you're really into the movie making process,
yes,
and you don't mind being a human prop,
right,
and waiting, yeah, around all day and stuff like that, you can just like soak up all kinds, yes, of cool stuff that most people don't get to see.
Yeah.
But like you're not going to be a movie star. So like get that out of your mind.
Get that out of your head.
Like,
nobody's
thinking someone's going to discover, oh, hey, you.
You. The girl back there,
yeah,
in the blue.
Yeah.
You come up first.
That's what
the
I would
leading
be.
Lady just died. Like, we need somebody.
Right.
Stat.
Okay. One little story, though, I will tell you, because I know we're running out of time. I worked as an extra on a movie that my son actually had a part in.
Okay.
He's in the credits.
Yeah.
He's teasing boy, number two. So I worked, he's in a flashback scene. So, and the movie was about middle school kids. So I worked as an extra for 10 days with the middle school kids, knowing that someday we would own the DVD and it would be fun to. There were, and so the movie's about middle school kids. There's 250 middle school kids and like 8 adults. We were teachers. You know, we're in the background. Like, we were used very rarely. I learned a lot because I just walked around asking people, mm-hmm, questions then, because I was hardly ever working. It was mostly about the kids. Except one day, the PA came in and said, I need all the teachers. Follow me. And he lined us up against a wall in the hall. And Rob Reiner came out and was like looking at all of us. And then he pointed to me. And there was a scene where the kids were walking into a classroom. And I was, I think it was because I looked authentically 19, because this was a period piece. I looked authentically 1950s. So I was the teacher at the head of the classroom.
Nice.
While the kids were just, yeah, filing in and talking to each other. So it wasn't about, I mean, again,
right,
not about me at all, but you can't see me.
Yes.
So
I love that.
It, you know, again, you're not going to get the call like, hey, you, come, we're going to give you a line and you're going to be a,
yeah,
star. But there is opportunity for that.
Right.
So, and I was right. I was very glad that I did do that work because we do own the DVD now.
There you go.
And you can see both my son and I in it.
And what's the website really quick again?
RealStyleOnline.com.
Got it.
And, but again, be prepared to wait, be professional. This, and this is my biggest gripe. If you're going to be an extra, be professional, you know, represent Michigan well. So more people want to come here and make movies. It stimulates our economy. It's good for us. So if you're going to do it, please be professional. And thanks for listening.